Okay, we're off to Parakhes. We're off to Parakhes Pasuk Yud Ches. Ches Yud Ches. Chai. Okay, Pasuk V'gam Ani Esev V'chema. So we just concluded yesterday, concluding that Hashem is described in detail, or showed, illustrated in detail the sins that Bnei Yisrael were guilty of. And in response, Hashem is going now to bring the Churban. And therefore, after we learned about all the various types of sins, now Hashem responds, V'gam ani esed v'chema, I will act with anger. V'loy sechoyz eini, v'loy echmol, my eye will not have compassion. V'loy echmol, will not have, do different expressions of compassion. Sechoyz and echmol, same thing. V'karu v'oznai, kol gadol, and they will call in my ears a loud voice. V'loy eshma oisam. So Hashem acknowledges that the Bnei Yisrael, they're going to cry out. They're going to cry out in pain, and he will not listen to them. Let's see the Mitzudos of Pasuk Yudches V'gam Ani Ritzon Eloimar K'mo Shehem Oisim Shloi K'Hoigen. Just like they, this is a very powerful pasuk according to the Mitzudos, just like they have done things which are improper, so to Gam Kein Ani Eseh B'Chema Shloi K'Hoigen. So the theme of the pasuk according to the Mitzudos is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct is going to be Shloi K'Hoigen. It's not Hashem's normal way to act with Chema. It's not Hashem's normal way to withhold rachamim, and it's certainly not Hashem's way to ignore our tefillos. So there are three things here that Hashem is saying he's going to do, which is against his nature: to act with anger, to withhold compassion, and not to listen to our tefillos. Why? Mida kineged mida. We have done things which are not natural, which are not proper, which go against the grain, our grain of what we should do. And therefore, that's Hashem's derech. It's always midah k'neged midah. The karva oznai be'espo aleim mishpat hagmul. When the punishment comes, they're going to cry out to me, I'm not going to listen. There is no Rashi on Pasuk Yudches, and the Radak on Pasuk Yudches begins, also just one word, v'gam ani mivuaruhu, it's self-understood. It's not self-understood. The Mitzudos, I think, said quite a bit. The Mitzudos said quite a big chiddush, explaining the pasuk of the midah k'neged midah. Hashem is going against his nature, but I guess the Radak learned that's pashut in his book. Okay, now we begin parak test. Parak test is a very complex parak. It's a very, very yisoyedistik parak. There's a lot of midrashim. This parak is quoted, the psukim are quoted in Chazal all over. It really is the core, to some degree, of Sefer Yecheska. Pasuk Aleph begins, Vayikra v'yoznai, Hashem called in my ears, Kol Gadol, in a loud voice, Lemar saying, Karvu, Hashem called within my earshot. V'yoznai does not mean Hashem spoke to me. Yecheska is speaking, and Yecheska is recording what is taking place. Hashem is calling out to the angels of destruction. And it happens to be that Yechezkel is giving. It happens to be that Yechezkel is given. Make sure something is okay. I don't know. Sounds. It happens to be that Yechezkel. It happens that Yecheskel is being given a front row seat. He's being permitted to witness, to hear what Hashem is speaking, what Hashem is saying to the angels of destruction. Vayom vayikra v'yozna. Hashem called out within my earshot, Kol Gadol, in a very loud voice. What did Hashem say? Hashem said the following three words. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. Karvu. Pikudos soir. Let the appointed, those who have been appointed over the city, let them come forward. Let them draw near. The ish, each one of these individuals, or as we'll see, malachim, kli mashcheso biyado, should hold in their hand a utensil of destruction. So we have over here, angels of destruction are now being summoned to appear and destroy Yerushalayim. Now, in a very simple meaning, this means Hashem is telling the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, and his army to attack. Hashem is inspiring them to ascend from Bavel to Yerushalayim and attack. And remember, we learned yesterday that this here is like the X-ray vision of what's happening at the time of the Churban. Time of the Churban, to us, it would appear that there's a war going on, but there's a spiritual dimension to this war where the Malachim, the guardian angels, the Mashchitzim, they're all coming together to perform their task and their function. Let's see Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudos David. Vayikra kol gadol kara be'oznai. There was a loud voice that was called out within my earshot. Karvu, the voice said, Karvu pikudos ho'ir, atem hamamunim al ho'ir lehashchisa. Karvu ubar, those who have been designated to destroy the city, let them come forward. Each one shall bring in his hands a utensil that has been designated to use towards the destruction of the Yerushalayim. Rash Pasuk Aleph, Karvu come near Pikudos Oir, Hikrivu es Hapikudim. Those who have been designated shall come forward. Asher Hifkadeti Leshaches Esuir, which I have designated to destroy the city. Okay, let's see here what it says in the Radak. Radak Pasuk Aleph. Vayikra Pekudos Oir Huanashim Hapkudim Al Anshe Hachayil. The soldiers, the people who have been designated to destroy. V'chein Vayosim Hakoyin Pekudos Al Beis Hashem. We see the word that Pekudos means people who have been designated for a specific task. V'samcham El Hoir V'amar Pekudos Oir Shabo El Hoir Techila V'Hachayil Achareihem. These people, they lead. They are the generals. They are the officers. They come first, and behind them follow the foot soldiers. The Eile Pekudos Oir Shem Va'er Shal Yushisha Anashim. Now, who are these people? So that's going to be the next pasuk. The next pasuk says there were 6/7, six people, 6 Anashim, and one person who had the Keses HaSefer, who was, it says he had in his hand the inkwell, which I guess means he also had a kulmus, a quill. And he was there to record, or we'll see, had a really different function, to write letters on the foreheads of the tzaddikim and on the rishoyim. The ashri b'soicham, we're going to see soon, 6 people, plus the 7th. And shahay yisoifer hamelech, the 7th one was the scribe of the king. Eilechem shivas hasarim shabo eloir kasher huvka ohoir. So according to the Radak is telling us something very simple. Don't get involved. Don't think about malachim. Don't think about shadim. I don't know any other type of mystical thing that you may be familiar with. Forget about that. Let's talk very simple language. Nebuchadnezzar had 6 generals, and he had a scribe. He had a cipher. Like remember back in the Persian Gulf. Secretary, remember the Persian Gulf Wars, they would embed, that was the key word, they would embed the media within the army, with the reporters. Reporters would be embedded with the soldiers to record how humane, how good the soldiers were to the Iraqis. When they came in, no one should claim that the American soldiers are coming to steal their land, coming to harm them, to rob them. They're there for their good. So they embedded reporters in the army. They gave them a uniform, they gave them armor, they gave them a bulletproof vest to protect them. That's really what it is over here. Here we have 6 generals, and within the 6 generals there is also a Sefer HaMelech, someone that is recording exactly what is taking place. Kamoshnam Sefer Yirmiyah, Veheim Nargal. So here, he is a very important Radak. He's coming to compare what it says here in Sefer Yecheskel, what it says in Sefer Yirmiyah. And indeed in Sefer Yirmiyah we have actually the names of the generals. What were their names? Nargal, Shamgar, Nevo, Sar, Sakim, Rav Saris, Nargal, a second Nargal, Shar Etzer, and Rav Mag. Okay, so you have to divide the words. You have to divide. 2 of the words are really 1. Let's go again. Nargal is 1. Shamgar is 2. Nevo is 3. Sar Sakim is 1, I believe. Okay? Rav Saris is 6. And then Nargal... Rav is 5. Nargal is 6. Shar Etzer. You're right. That's seven. And Rav Mug is right. Rav, you're right. He right. I'm sorry. You made a mistake. The Avapi Shem Shemoina. Even though it says the number there eight, Harishon Pakid Al Hashiva, the first one was a supervisor. That was not counted with them. And over here, Yechedmer, this Nevuah was taking place many years before the Churban. What was it, 6 years? I think it was 6 years before the Churban. And over here, Hashem is showing Yirmiyah in a Nevuah, Yechedmer, Nevuah, what's going to happen later on in 6 years from now, which we know actually happened. We can get the names of these people in Sefer Yirmiyah. And even though there it says there were eight, the first one of the eight was the supervisor. He was not part of the people that actually did the killing that was involved in destruction. Okay, the next words of the Radak are v'ish kli mashchiso biyado, kli bechirik. It says here in this word kli, it's not clay. We would expect it to say the clay. Clay is b'loshon rabim. Here it says kli b'loshon yachid, kli bechirik, ki hu yachid. Is it the kli yokar or the clay yokar? The sefer. Rabbi Ephraim Lenschitz. That was his name. I think his name was Ephraim Lenschitz. The famous mechaber of the Sefer, the Kli Yakar. I hear sometimes people say Klei Yakar, and I hear sometimes people quote him as the Kli Yakar. I don't know. Is it Kli? I think I asked this Einikol. I know I have a friend. He's a 10th generation Ben Achar Ben from the Kli Yakar.
What's his name?
Lenschitz. The one that I know, his name is Yeshaya Lenschitz. He's a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin, correct? No, that's his father. His father was the sixth grade Rebbe in Chaim Berlin. He works here also, but not as a Rebbe anymore. He was my sixth grade Rebbe. He was the first Rebbe I had in Chaim Berlin. When I came to Chaim Berlin, I was in sixth grade. He was my Rebbe, Rabbi, I think his name is Rabbi Chaim Lenschitz. May he be well and good. And he's now semi-retired. But he has a son, he has many children, Baruch Hashem. One of his sons is a Rebbe in the Masifta, in the high school. So he was in my class, and he is the 10th generation Ben Achar Ben from the Kli Yakar. I asked him once, is it Kli Yakar or is it Klei Yakar? And if I'm not mistaken, he told me it's Kli Yakar, Kli B'loshon Yachid. And that's over here, but you'll hear people say both ways. And over here, you have a very nice Radak that tells us that's the Chiluk. If it's Kli, 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 B'chirik. In this passage, it's V'ish Kli. So I asked an expert on that also, and he told me it's not clear. He doesn't know. As a big mumcha, I asked Rabbi Orlian from Yeshiva University. He's a professor of Bible. He's a big Balmadaktik. What? He lives on 19th Street. He lives across the street from me. On 19th Street, between I and J. I asked him if it's Rabbeinu Bachya or Rabbeinu Bachaye. So he told me he doesn't know. He told me it's not really clear. You hear it both ways. I always grew up Bachya. I grew up Bachya, but then later in life, I hear people saying Bechaye. Bechaye. All right, but he told me he doesn't know, and it can go either way. But here we have the Kli Yakar, Kli Bechirik, Vekiu Yachid, Vechein, Kli Mapotza, we have later on. So we're discussing each individual had in their hand one utensil which was used to destroy. Mash Chiso, or Mash Chesma, Mash Chiso, Bitsere, Vushem, destruction, Vuchemosh Shem, Avulhu Bechirok, Tahargul, the Mashchis. Okay, there are other ways to use a choroshe mashchis, destruction. So it can be used both ways. It depends on how it's being used. Here it's mashcheso, but sometimes it's used as a verb. Maybe I think when it's a noun, then it's mashchis. When it's a verb, then I'm not really sure. We'll leave it with that. Okay, let's go to pasuk beis. Now, before we go to pasuk beis, there is an important medrash. The Medrash says, why did the Navi choose the word Karvu Pikudos? Pikudos says, the Mitzudos struggled. And Rashi also, what does this word mean? It means those who have been appointed. But the word Pikuda really alludes to the word Pikida, which means to remember. Vahashem Pokad Es Sarah. The opening words of the Kriya Satorah on Rosh Hashanah. Pekida, Yom Hadin is a day of Pekida, of Hashem, of remembrance. So the answer is, Hashem, at the time of the eagle, Hashem said of Yom Pokti, Pokaditi. on the day when I remember you for bad, for punishment, Pakadati, I'm going to remember what you've done today, the Chay To'ego. In other words, Chazal said that every time Hashem brings tragedy, Rachmana Litzlan, upon Klal Yisrael, is always mixed into the punishment, a partial payment for the Chay To'ego. Every, and we don't know why that means. I mean, how can we rationalize that? We only live in one period of time. What do we do? What did we do that we are deserving to suffer for the sins that took place 3,000 years ago? Unless you'll say that we're still behaving the way they behave, so we have a duty to pay off debt. That's a very hard concept to swallow, why we should still...
You also benefit from the brachas, what happened.
So you want to say, zelu mazef, you want to take the good, you have to take the bad. It's still a very hard thing to swallow. Why take the good also? You know, you're right, I don't know. These things, you know, when you're children, you hear these things, and you just accept it, it makes a lot of sense. And when you get older, it's not fair. It's not zelo fair. Why should I have to suffer for what people did 3,000 years ago? What do I have? And I'll tell you something, you know, we all brainwash with Asara Harugi Malchus. Why did the Asara Harugi Malchus, why were they killed? So Chazal, so we read in the Kinois, and we read on Yom HaKippurim, in the Slichos, because of the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. Okay, so there's a Sefer called... I forgot that there's an early Rishon. He was a historian. His name is, I don't remember. He was someone to be taken seriously. I don't remember one of the Kadmonim, and he really he very strongly challenges what it says in the Kina and in the Slicha that the Asara Haruge Malchus were killed because of the Chet Mechiras Yosef, and he says it's not possible. You can't go say that. Hashem only punishes. The Pasuk says, Poked Ovon Ovos Albanim Al Shileshim V'Al Rideim. Hashem does not hold one account for more than four generations. How can you say that these tzaddikim were killed because of the chait, which happened from them 2,000 years ago, even more maybe? It's just not logical. And he says that the Paitonim, they fabricated the whole thing in order to inspire the people to do tshuva on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. But it's not true. It's just not true that there's such a thing that it could be that these tzaddikim are going to suffer for the chait of the Mechiras Yosef. Now that's not popular. That approach is not popular. Okay, we don't accept that. We accept emuna pshuta that if this is what it says in the Slichos and the Kinos, and this is what we've been doing for the last whatever number of years, it certainly has to be Hanach Lahem Li Yisrael im Einam Nevi B'nei Neviim, and it's MS. But you should know that not everyone takes this, accepts this, that because it's very, very hard to swallow such a concept, because the Torah says only four generations. So you have the same thing over here. Here the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And here the Midrash says, you know why it's being destroyed? They're doing Averos. But once already I'm going to punish them for the Averos that they're doing now, I'm also going to punish them for the Averos, for the Chei To'egel. Mixed into this punishment was the Chei To'egel. In fact, the Midrash says that this generation was exactly 24 generations since the time of the Chei To'egel. I guess you can calculate the number of years. You can figure out how long a generation, what is it, 70 years? What is the time spent in halacha of a generation? It was in halacha 24 generations, and Hashem now is still coming to punish for the Chei To'egel. But Chazal say even in all future generations, every future generation, Chazal in fact, they use number 24. And every time there is a national tragedy, in the national tragedy is 1/24 of the punishment from the Chei To'egel. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. I'll read you the words. V'lama ne'emar. Why does it say Pikudos? This unusual word. B'shloshen Rabbim. Why does it say Pikudos? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Ein l'cha kol puranus upuranus shabol le'olam. It will never happen. There will be punishment. Tragedy will come to the world. She'ein ba echad me'esrim v'arba'a behechrea litra shel ha'egel harishayin. It's not going to be 1/24th measurement, or weight, whatever that means, 1/24th of the punishment that we deserve for the chei to'egel. She'nemar, uviyoim pokdi, ufokaditi alehem chatosam. On the day when I visit sin, punishment upon them, I will visit upon them punishment for the sin of the chet or egel. Amar Rabbi Chanina, then Rabbi Chanina says, Liachar eshem yabo doros nigbo. By the way, this generation, he says, was 24 generations from the time of the chet or egel. Pasuk zeh shenema v'yikra b'yoznai kol gadol leimar kuvu pikudos o'ir v'ish kli mashchis b'yado. And the fact that it says the word pikudos, rabbi mashma, indicates that this was exactly 24 generations from the chet, whatever that means, that's how he makes that connection. So these are two Maimari Chazal in Sanhedrin. It was the 24th generation, and the punishment was 1/24th of what we deserved for worshipping the Egel. Notice that this follows, I don't know what the significance of this is, I just want to make mention of the observation, that yesterday we discussed what was the significance of there being 25 people standing in the Heichal, bowing down to the sun, at the same time they released waste. What was the significance of the 25? So we discussed yesterday, Kohanim, the number 25 was a magical number with regard to Kohuna. But it's interesting that over here now there's 24. After they did 25, I'm just making an observation that it's not a coincidence that there it says Ki Esrim, approximately 25, and over here we have the punishment, which is going to be 1/24th of what we deserve, and also 24 generations from the time of the Chet or Egel. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk beis. V'hine shisha anashim bohim miderech shar ha'elyon asher mofnet safone. Yecheskel witnesses six men coming forward from the gate, upper gate, that mofne means it turned, it was directed safone, the northern gate, the gate which was towards. Mofne more precisely means towards. That was pointing towards Safona. The Ish, each one of these six men, which according to the Radak says, refers to the six men, or really the six men, six of the eight men mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyah, who we even know who their names were. Ish, each one, kli mapatso biyado, each one had a sledgehammer. The word mapats means to demolish. Okay, a sledgehammer, we call it a sledgehammer biyado. The ish echad b'soicham, there appears to be a seventh man embedded among the six, lavush badim, and this seventh man was not wearing armor, was not dressed like a soldier. He was wearing linen. He was wearing a white suit, okay, white linen, which is white. The keses hasefer b'mosnav, and the inkwell. In writing, in a kesefer literally means an inkwell. We call it an inkwell. I don't know, maybe in Nach it means something else, but it means writing instrument. Over here in the art scroll, they translated a scribe's slate. What is that? I have no idea what that means. Slate?
It's a general term.
A board?
Blackboard.
A blackboard?
It's a general term for writing.
They had wax boards. They had wax boards in ancient times. Okay, fine. Look, there's a very famous sefer called the Keses HaSefer. Who wrote it? Rabbi Gansfried, the Mechaber of, what was his first name?
Shlomo
Gansfried, the one who wrote the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. So, you know, it's interesting. The Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, unfortunately, is not as popular as it used to be because of the Mishnah Berurah. But the Keses HaSefer, the sefer that he wrote for Safras, the laws of Ksivas Stam, Sefer Torah Tul Mezuzos, is alive and well, is very, very popular, to the point where today you cannot be a sefer, unless you know that sefer inside out. It's not a very big sefer. There are two parts. There's the basic halacha, and then there's the bottom, the lumnus. And today, to get a ksav kabbalah from any from the Vada Mishmer Stam, or basically any organization that's going to give you smicha, you have to know the sefer, keses ha-sefer, inside out. All of the halacha comes from there. So it's amazing. I mean, every time you get an aliyah, every time you put on a pair of tefillin, every time you touch a mezuzah, you pass the mezuzah, you're really paying tribute to, what was the name of Shlomo? Of Shlomo Gansfried. Every time you put on your tefillin, the person who wrote your tefillin, I guarantee you, knows that sefer inside out. And the chidushim that he writes in that sefer have come out of the halacha. he it's amazing how he has reached, how far his reach has gone. And the name of the series is called Keses HaSofer. So when I learned Safos, I always understood Keses means the inkwell. You have the quill, you have the inkwell. That's called the Keses HaSofer, the inkwell of the scribe. But here they translate it differently. Here, I'm very surprised. He also translated as slate. In the Mitzudos Tzion, doesn't really translate it. All he writes, for whom the clay HaKesiva. It's one of the utensils that's used for writing. So that can mean many things. You have to have a quill, it's called the eight, or the inkwell, and then you can have the board, like you said, where you're going to write on. You have the parchment, you need a knife to make the pen. You need a lot of tools. There are a lot of different tools that go into being a cipher. Okay, whatever it is. But you have over here this man that's dressed in white, and it's very bizarre. Bimosnaf. And normally you put your sword on your loins. That's where the sword goes. You put your weapon, your rifle. What? Oh, exactly. It's exactly what we're coming to. Exactly. It's a very big, very big, powerful thing. You're so learning over here. The Keses HaSofer Bimosnav. We're taking a term that is used for a weapon, and we're applying it very strangely to the inkwell, to whatever you, every tool. Bimosnav. That's man number seven. He's dressed in white. He's not dressed in armor. He's not dressed like the person that you would least expect to find on the battlefield. Right? The last person in the world you would expect to find on the battlefield with his blood and war. White, beautiful clothing. It's filthy dirty in the battlefield. There's blood all over the place. There's mud. There's wearing a nice white suit on the battlefield. And what's in his holster? And his holster is a pen. A nice paper, whatever you want, a nice, fancy, expensive pen. Vayavo, all of these seven people came, Vayamdu, and they stood Eitzel Mizbach HaNechoshes, they stood near the Mizbach HaNechoshes. Now, what Mizbach HaNechoshes? What are you talking about? In the Bayis Rishon, there is no such thing as a Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Mizbach HaNechoshes. It was replaced in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a Mizbeach that was made from Nechoshes, that was hollow and filled with earth whenever they settled. In the Bayis Rishon, it was replaced with a Mizbeach Avonim, with stone. We all know the Gemara, Yoma, and Mesech Namidos, and describes in detail what the Mizbeach looked like. In the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni was a little bit bigger. It was very big. I think the Bayis Rishon was only 28 amos. The Bayis Sheni, it was 32 amos. They expanded it. But it was made from earth, stone. It wasn't made from Nechoshes. So why here are we calling it the Mizbach HaNechoshes? So that's a question to keep in mind for one moment. Let's see Mitzudos Tavah Pasuk Beis. V'hinei, Kasher Korah, when he was called. V'hinei ha'yubayim d'mush shish ha'noshim. V'yomer Rabbi Sein Zichron Levracha Sheheim Af V'cheimah Ketzef, Mashchis, Mashber, Umachle. So look how the Mitzudos David differs than the Radak. It's Mamish of Nahapachu. Normally it's the Radak, the Mitzudos David, that gives you Pshat. And he's the one you would expect to say, link up these six people with the six people whose names are mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyah. As we mentioned, in the previous Radak, Shamgar, Nargol, Shamgar, Nevo, Sar Sakim, Rav Soris, Nargol, Shar Etzar, Rav Megar. Right, that's what you'd expect. You expect the Mitzudos David to say, but yet the Mitzudos David says, no. We have here an X-ray vision of what's taking place here. We're describing over here the angels, the Mashchisim, and in Shemayim, those that are very familiar with all of the things that go on in Shemayim are very well aware. And in Shemayim, there are six angels of destruction, and here are their names: Av, Chema, Ketzef, Mashkes, Mashber, Umachle. Each one is unique in its approach to bring destruction, and they're now all being dispatched to destroy Yerushalayim. Sha'el Yoin, Kain, Shem, Ho Yashar, that was the name of the Gerus called Sha'el Yoin, the Chenema, Hu, Bono, Yashar, Beis Hashem, Ho El Yoin. Okay, Mifnet, Safoina, Hapoinet, Litzafon, this gate was facing north. The Ish, why north? The Mepharshim say north is Nevuchadnezzar, Ki Mitzafon, Tipotach, Ha'ra'ah. The Ish, Kol Echon, Hoyabiyod, Kli HaMashber, Umashchis, HaMiyuchlo, each one had in their hand their unique utensil that was used to bring destruction. The Ish Echad Bisaycham, and there was another man, a seventh man embedded within the sixth. Bisaych Sheshes Onashim Hoyo Ish Acher Meluvush Big Day Bad. he was stuck. He really stuck out like a sore thumb.
Agree with the
with the Radak. Why?
He says Mapatz was individual.
Mashper umepapets. It means
each one had a special kli.
That's what he means. The Mitzudos Sion is the same person.
I know, but what he's saying that everyone had like a kli.
A unique.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think he's.
The anger used one thing,
and Enochanami. You're right. The Medrash indeed says that the word matz paints, maftso is a catch-all word. It means a destructive utensil, and it can be used for many different purposes.
It's not a specific.
We translate it as a sledgehammer. That's usually, it fits very well into the context. But the Medrash, in fact, the Medrash says that we find this word used in regard to three different types of destruction. One form of destruction is for weapons, neshek lahariga. I'm just jumping on the Medrash. The other is demolition. And the third is a special utensil that's meant for dispersal, golos, to take people and send them out into golos. I don't know. To scatter.
Very interesting. According to this, that everyone had chema, everything. Mapzo can be switched around to matzbo, which is like matzbuno.
Hiddenness. Safoin. Hiddenness.
According to his qualities.
In Echadami, each one of these six angels, destructive angels, has a unique nature, and that unique nature was being used now to bring Chorban. Okay, let's go and finish with the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says v'ish v'ish echa b'sechem. One more time. Those words b'secha shesh anashim chayu ish oid ish echad meluvash bigday bad uveheozor the belt. On the belt, Asher b'masnav hayotoli keses hamayuchel seifer, v'hu miklei kisiva. This is one of the utensils that is used for writing.
News reporters that are embedded.
Right, so I said news reporters. Right, the news reporters that are embedded among the soldiers, and on the Sunday morning shows, they have retired generals embedded among the reporters. I remember that from one of the last words. In the battlefield, there are reporters embedded with the soldiers, and on the Sunday morning talk shows, there are retired generals embedded among the reporters to give their opinion. Vayavohu eile hashisha im ho'ish levush abadim. These six men with number seven, they all came forward. They came forward near the mizbach hanechayches. What is this? So the Mitzudos says, "Hu ha-mizbech avonim." Don't make any mistake. It's called mizbech avonim. She'asa Shlomo tachas mizbech hanechayches. She'asa Moshe ba-midbar. We're giving a point of reference. We're calling the mizbech avonim mizbech hanechayches because this is what has replaced the mizbech hanechayches. But really, it's the mizbech avonim. That's his answer to this very difficult question. Okay, let's see Rashi pasuk beis shisha nashim. Rabbi Sainu perishu b'sechta Shabbos. Gemara Masechta Shabbos was quoted by the Mitzudos. So he refers to the six angels: Ketzef, Af, Vechema, Mashris, Mashber, and Machle. Mapotso, Shu Mashber Es Hakol. Mapotso means a sledgehammer. It destroyed everything. Kumo Venipates Es Ololaich. I will smash your children. The Ketzef Asoifer, Pinkos. So he learns this is the tablet. Okay, like a tablet. The Heim Luchos Shemuchupim Beshava. The boards covered with wax, the chorsin bom be'et, and they etch into this board with an awl, some type of writing sharp tool. So this shatters, I told you, shatters my whole understanding of what the keses ha-sefer, I always thought it meant the inkwell. In fact, in modern Hebrew, I looked it up in the dictionary, Google Translate, they translate keses in modern Hebrew as inkwell, as I was brainwashed to believe in, is that's what it really means.
They took it from here, they put it into modern Hebrew. It doesn't mean that.
But Rashi says it means a tablet. It doesn't mean a modern, it doesn't mean an inkwell. What?
They didn't have inkwells.
What do you mean inkwells? Well, of course they had inkwells. What else do they have? What's an inkwell? A little utensil where you put ink in. That's ink.
What did they write on? Paper?
Yeah.
Parchment.
What's it called? Papyrus? What's it called?
Papyrus.
A Eitzel Mizbach Hanachayshes Hu Mizbech Avonim Shas Shlomo Tachas Mizbech Hanachayshes Shas Samosh Bemidbar. Again, no really good answer why we are referring to Mizbech Avonim with the term Mizbech of Mizbech Hanachayshes. Let's see Radak Pasuk Beis Vehine Shish Anoshim Perishu Al Derech Pshutoi V'Al Moshal. We explained it before. Berach Pshuto refers to the six people we mentioned above. The six names mentioned Sefer Yirmiyah. The Al Derech Mashal Him Shisha Misabim. There are seven Misabim causes. I think it means these six are the six different.
We don't have Misabim. We have Maskim.
Shisha Maskim. So what's Maskim mean? Let me make a note of that and get some credit with the art scroll.
I don't know which one is right there. You could be right.
Okay, we have to make a notation. I'm hoping to win a free shas from art scroll when I show them all the mistakes. Hey, Shisha Maskim, Vashvi Beinehem, Shulavush Badim, and the seventh one, okay, I don't know what it means. The Shisha Maskim, the seven, whatever this means. I think it just basically means either it means the six men mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyah, or the six angels mentioned in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. And amongst them...
They were all dressed the same.
They were all dressed the same?
Six was the same, and the seventh one...
V'ashvi b'neihem levush badim. They were all dressed in armor. And the seventh one stuck out like a sore thumb. Levush badim. Probably had a big word, reporter, right? Don't kill me. I'm the good guy. Reporter. One was dressed levush badim v'yadua ki badim heim bigdei pishton hamiguhat sin. Everyone knows that badim is linen which shine, glitter. The glitter means over here in the sun, when the sun, the rays of the sun hit the white, it looks like it's shining because it's white. Ruach Sefer HaGadol. Who is this person? This is the Sefer HaGadol v'hamanik ha'ir. This is the Sefer HaGadol, the great scribe, the leader of the city, v'hu ha'zarek eish b'ir. And this, the one that's going to cast fire in the city. I don't know what that means exactly. This is, I guess, the Gavriel, the Malach. I think they say it's the Malach Gavriel according to the Medrash. Good morning. The Eilechem Pekudo So'ir Peri. These are the officers of the city. My Nihu Shisha Noshim. Mashper. He's now finally getting around to quoting what it says in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, like Mitzudas and like Rashi, the Mashper, the Mashkis, Machle, Ketzef, Afichema. Shar Elyon Peyusha Rabbasin Levracha Shushar Mizrachi means the east gate, what we call Shar Nikinar. Right, we Sharnikinah, which you come in on the east side. V'nikra Elyon Shu Milamayla Mi'ezras Yisrael is before you come into the first 11 Amos. The first 11 Amos of the Azara are called the Ezras Yisrael. The Asher Miponeh Mofneh Tzafayin. It is towards the north. Mizrachi Tzafayin Nihaya. Not Mamish due east, but northeast. Ukvar, that means there was another gate. The Bayis Rishon, you know, there are a lot of things that the Bayis Rishon we do not know. We think we know. We have different models, but there are a lot of mysteries about the Bayis Rishon. So it seems that on the east side, besides the main entrance, there was another small entrance on the north side. That's even what it says. Ukvar Perishu Ratam Lomohere Hamar Bitsafon. Two sides. There was a main entrance and there were two little side pishrishim on the side. So maybe it means that one. It means a big entrance. And then on the side, there's a little one right next to it. And we already discussed why we refer to the north. What's the symbolism of the north? The reason why it's northeast is because that's where Bavel is located. So therefore, when the angels of destruction come in to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they're coming from the northeast, symbolic that the nation that will destroy Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash will come from the northeast, Bavel. Miponeh, Pol B'Shekel, this is a verb, towards B'Shekel in the same grammatical form, Asher Ato More Bohar, that's a hard word, More Bohar that you show. Okay, that's a tongue twister for a Balkriya to say it right. Asher Ato Moreh Bahar, that you've shown us in the mountain. It's an active form of the word. Mapotso, kumo mashchiso, shazocha ki mapots. The mapots is shamekli hu shemeshabim haslam, which you break with rocks. V'chein mapets atoli, you are a person of destruction. Hu bitzerei kumo bekomats mapets. Just like over here, we have the word. Mapotso, in this pasuk we have here the komats, and there it's with the tzeri, but it's really the same thing. V'zehu b'tziri v'zehu b'komatz. V'ish echa b'sechem l'vush abadim k'var perashnud al derech moshul v'rabbi seinu z'choynim l'vrocha perishu kein v'chein amru g'zeh Gavriel. The man that's l'vush badim is the malach Gavriel. The malach Gavriel is the malach of fire. V'heim amru ki Gavriel malach shal esh l'fishuhu zor hazoriko esh aloir v'chein ru'uhu. We see in Daniel, Levush Badim, we find Gavriel appearing in Sefer Daniel, Levush Badim, by the mice of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Vero, upon of Kemar Borok, the Enov, and he saw his face was Mar Borok, it says there, it was like lightning, the Enov, Kilapide Esh, and his eyes were like torches of fire. The Keses Asefer Bimasnov, Keses Hukli, Hadiyoy, so here's Taka where it says it. Here's where it comes from. Like the Radak, not like Rashi that says it was a tablet. It says it's the Kli Hadiyoy, okay, the inkwell. The other Samtergim Pinkes Safra, the Pinkes, is the tablet, the notebook. The Pinkes Sumasha Kosavolov Hasoifa, Vahu Niyor, either it's paper or a luch or it's a wax tablet. The Afal Pichain, Inyan Haposiku Al Tsarich Hadiyoy. The Radak says over here we must be referring to the ink, not to the tablet. The proof comes from the context. Since in the next passage we're going to learn that he's going to be instructed to write the letter Tov on the forehead of all of the people, therefore it's mumash that we're dealing with ink. The ulai lefi shetluya b'mosne ha-sofer haniyor oy ha-luach im klei hadiyoy. So he wants to suggest that according to those who learn that keses literally refers to the tablet, but the context of this pasuk, it refers to the ink, being that the ink was attached to all of his paraphernalia, all of his other tools, therefore we refer to it by the ikar, the larger one, the kes, the tablet. Lavush badim, he was wearing linen. The Kamatz, Besmichus, V'chein, Chogu, Klei, Mulchamu, Peirush, Levush, Bebadim, he was dressed in linen. V'yavo, V'yamdu, Eitzel, Mizbech, Anachayshas, Zem, Mizbech, Oyla, Shoy, Lefnei, Ha'ulam, Ba'azara. V'also, Shlomo, Kamo, Shekostav, Shbediv, Ha'yamim, V'masha, Heriloi, Oloi, Omdom, Eitzel, Mizbech, Anachayshas. Why near the Mechayshas? Why near the Mechayshas? Rocky, Eitzel, Mizbech, Anachayshas, Hamashtachavim, Kedmo, Leshemesh. Because this is a continuation. Everybody said, please. This is a continuation from yesterday, since they bowed down to the east, to the sun, so bowed down to the sun, and they put their backs to the Mizbeach, that's why we refer to it over here with that's why Hashem showed it to me precisely in this location. Because here is where the Avera was done. The Kevon Shebozu Kvoid Akel Yisparach Bezeh Hereu Shebavoyin Zeh, due to this sin, Nale HaKavod Mial HaKrov. The reason why it was shown right near the Mizbeach, because this is where the sin was done, the sin which broke the last straw that broke the camel's back, Kaviyachal, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Malach, the Mashchitzim, coming to this specific area. But the Radak also did not answer the million-dollar question as why here is it called the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Okay, so I saw an answer, if I'm not mistaken, from I think it's from the Reish Sharaf of Aaron Levine. And he explains, he says, it's not a real answer, it's a drush. It's a very, it's not, I don't think it's his. I think he has a makor. I don't remember all the details. I didn't get a chance to look it up. I don't even know where to find it. Probably you can find it in Parashas Korach. In Parashas Korach, it says that after the 250 men died, the fire came down and killed the 250 men who participated together with Korach. So Hashem says to Moshe, take their frying pans, and I want you to melt them down. The frying pans were made from copper, nechoshes, and I want you to plate the mizbeach. I want you to take those frying pans and to plate the surface of the mizbeach. And the question is why? And the pasuk says it should serve as a reminder that if you challenge the authority of Aaron HaKohen, it will happen to you like what happened to Adas Korach and the 250 men. Now the question is, how long did that zikaron last? That zikaron, that those of frying those pans that were used to be makter ketores from the 250 men who challenged the authority of Aaron, how long did it last? So I believe that he brings a makar that this existed the entire tkuf of the Bayis Rishon and even the Bayis Sheni. In other words, even when they replaced the Mizbeach HaNechoshes with the Mizbeach of stone, but the surface, the top surface of the Mizbeach was copper. And it wasn't just any copper. It was the copper that came from the frying pans, the pans of Ketores from the Adas Korach. That is what Hashem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, just like the mon. The mon, Hashem said to Moshe, take the mon and put the mon in the Kodesh HaKadoshim l'mishmeres l'doroi seichem. And we know for a fact it was still there in the time of Yirmiyah, and we know that it was put in Geniza by Chizkiyahu, when they saw that the time was coming to an end, they put it away. They put it in Geniza. So the same way they were instructed to take these pans and to put it on the surface of the Mizbech, to be a Zikaron, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they replaced the Mizbech and the Chesh, the Mizbech has Avonim, they still took the copper plating and they put the copper plating as a floor on the top of the Mizbech. So therefore, every time Hashem wants to remind Klal Yisrael that you're misbehaving, he refers to the Mizbeach by the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, because it was partially Nechoshes. And we are drawing attention specifically to the Nechoshes to remind you, you are B'nei Machloikas. You are people who are full of strife. As it says, the previous thing, Kimolu es ha'aretz chomos. Chomos is violence, injustice. It has a lot of connotations of what chomos means. But you're not where you should be. And therefore, I'm reminding you here, look at the Mizbeach. Don't look at the stone element of them. Look at the Nechoshes. The Nechoshes was supposed to remind you not to be like B'nai Korach, to challenge authority, to challenge the Kahuna, to challenge Hashem, v'chulu v'chulu. That's why we specifically focus on that element of the Mizbeach of the Nechoshes, not the Nechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mizbeach better than the Nechoshes. But there's another layer of Nechoshes. The Nechoshes that was added to the Mizbeach that came from the pans of the Adas Korach that challenged the authority of Aaron and Moshe and challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. Why should it be like this? That is now being emphasized at this moment in time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring Churban. Okay, now before we go further, let me just point out some Midrashim. Okay, now here it says that here's I want to touch upon what you mentioned before, is that the pen is what was it? Mad in the sword. Okay, now we learned, everyone over here said there were seven people. Okay, there were seven people who were Shisha Noshim. Now the problem is, if we just jump ahead for a few moments, we're going to see in a few moments that there were only really five people. Okay, now let's just jump ahead for a few moments and let's look at the Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav, it says, Zokain, Bachur, Bisula, Taf, Vinoshim, Tahargu Lamashchis. There were five different categories of people that were being killed. The Zakenim, the Bachurim, the Besulois, the Taf, and the Noshim. Five different categories. The Medrash appears to say, okay, this is a Medrash, they don't quote here in my Medrash, but they quote it in the article, strangely, maybe we'll have it in the Radak, I don't remember, is that each one of these angels was given the task to destroy, to bring Churban to one of these categories. One angel was in charge of killing the Zikain, and one angel was in charge of destroying the Taf one. So the problem is, there are only five categories. Only five categories, why then do we need six people? What did the sixth person do? What was the sixth Malach there for? Therefore, this Medrash, Eicha Rabba, comes to disagree and holds that there were not seven. We learned Rashi, Mitzvus, Neradak, everyone says there were seven. There were six Anoshim, and plus the six Anoshim, there was someone that stood stood out like a sore thumb, dressed in a white suit. The Levush Bad number 7, he was the Kesas HaSoifer. He doesn't have any weapons. He just has in his hand a pen. That's all he has. No, he was one of the 6. There were 5. The 5 people clearly, each one was given their task. And man number 6 was the man that was Levush Badim, holding in his hand his pen. The question is, the Medrash says, can't be. Because it says, each one had the Kli Mapotso Biyado. The Kli Mapotso Biyado. And this person doesn't have a Kli Mapotso Biyado. All he has in his hand is a pen. So the answer is exactly what you said. The pen is mightier than the sword. The pen can be indeed the greatest Kli Mapotso that there is. And exactly, go back to the previous pasuk, that's why it says that he had on his loins, Gavriel, in his holster, he had a pen. You'd expect in his holster he had an automatic weapon, and a machine gun in his holster. No, he had in his holster a pen. Again, the same theme is that the pen is mightier, the koyach of writing is more dangerous than the koyach of actually using kli mashkes. Remember, today, now with technology, that today, the pen has been replaced by the keyboard. And now there's no more keyboard, and everything is just touch. But there's no question about it that today, the koyach of ksiva today, without question, through technology, is incredible. You can literally destroy a person's life by writing something harmful about him and posting it online. And as soon as the search engines pick it up, there's no going back.
Right.
What?
Breitbart.
They try to remove. Right. They try to remove.
Breitbart. Whatever they call it.
Yeah. Well, I don't get. Well.
Breitbart is the newspaper. From Spanish.
All right, for my time.
No, it's not. No. Right now.
Right now. What are they doing? I don't understand.
Breitbart.
Oh, Breitbart. That website.
Yeah.
Oh, Breitbart. And the guy in charge was taken by Trump, one of his people.
Bannon.
Oh, he's just. Oh, okay, anyway, right. So wherever you write goes today. The koyach is of ksiva is forever. Now I'll give you a var. This is a var that. A short idea to bring out this point. We know that there are 39 categories of labor. On Shabbos, we have to do shvisa to restrain ourselves from doing the lamed tes melachos. Chazal say why these lamed tes melachos? Because these lamed tes melachos are the building blocks of creation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there were 39 acts of labor that went into the building of the world. How they match up, I don't know, but that's what Chazal say. Ze luma ze. These are melachos of Bria. Where do we find in the Mishkan the melacha of Kesiva? And another third part to this Chazal is that the only type of melacha that is forbidden on Shabbos is a melacha that was found in the Mishkan. A melacha that was necessary for the binyan of the Mishkan. So where was their ksiva? Where was their melacha of ksiva in the Mishkan? So the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says they wrote letters on the krushim. The krushim were all lined up like a sukkah, right? You go sukkah. You next day you want to put the panels in the same place, so you write on the panels. You write numbers on the panels, so you know that this panel goes next to this panel. So the krushim, even though the krushim were identical. But a keresh shezocha liyos b'mizrach tiyeh b'mizrach. It's not. It's insulting to a keresh that was zeicha to be in the kodesh hakadoshim when they take apart the mishkan and they reassemble it. It now should be all the way in the back. Once it got its kavod that the keresh was zeicha to be on the east, it retains that right even when they reassemble the mishkan in a new location. So they wrote on all of the krashim letters, aleph, beis, gimel, dalet, hey, vav, in order to put it to place, in order not to insult, not to deny a keresh the kavod, the honor that it deserves. This is the makar of the prohibition to write on Shabbos. This. There maybe it was not. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was etching. It was done with the shamir. the Shamir, yeah. I don't know. You have to see the Gemara. The Gemara explicitly says this. The Gemara explicitly says this. I don't know. I don't know the answer. But the Gemara explicitly refers to this. So what do we see from this? And you see something incredible. The koyach of the prohibition to write on Shabbos comes from the Mishkan. The Melach that was done in the Mishkan. And the Melachas in the Mishkan correspond to the Bria, to the creation of the world. That means the koyach of Ksiva was given for Kavod, to give honor. When a person takes his talent of writing, and the whole tafkid, I have a gift. I have a PhD in English literature. In I won the Pulitzer Prize. I have a koyach to write, a gift of ksiva, and I use that koyach of ksiva to be mevazeh, to disgrace, to degrade shaloi kalach. There are things you have to be mevazeh. I'm not talking about. But when you take the koyach of ksiva and you abuse it to write nasty, nasty things, something which is disgraceful about someone else or about an organization, about an institution, you're not just doing an aveira of lashon hara or rechilas motzi shemra. You're taking something whose creation, the essence of what it is, was for kavod, and you're using it for bizayon. And there can be no greater aveira than that. When you have a journalist who writes very nasty things about things that are, you know, are good, about Torah and about, you know, religion, v'chulu v'chulu, I don't have to elaborate. You mamish taking the koyach of kavod and you're using it for the koyach of lashon hara, rechilus, mosi shemra, and that is a very severe sin. Here, at least we learn, we get this idea, the pen is on the loins, the place of the sword, and it's called in this pasuk here, according to the Medrash, the kli mapotso. It is an object of destruction, as the koyach, the power of the pen is mightier than the sword. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The pasuk says, pasuk gimel. Now here when it says Kruv, it's not referring to the Merkava. Okay, we spent so much time, we're going to have another in Perek Yud, it's going to be again all about the Merkava, and the Kruvim, and the Ifanim, and what else was there? The Ifanim, and the Chayois, right, the Chayois, and the Kruvim, the Ifanim. So here when it says Kruv, we're now referring to the Kapoiras. On top of the Kodesh HaKodeshim was the Aroin, in the Aroin with the Luchos, on top of the Luchos was the Kapores, and what was on the Kapores? Two Kiruvim. Where did Hashem's Shechina rest? Hashem's Shechina rest upon the Kiruvim. So it says over here, at this moment in time, Hashem is beginning to withdraw from the Beis HaMikdash, to leave. Uchavoy Elokei Yisrael, Na'ala, Yecheskel is saying, I witnessed, it ascended. Me'al HaKruv, from above the Kruv, Asher, Haya Olav, upon which it was resting. Where did the Shechina go? El Miftan Habayis, to the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, period. Vayikra El Ho'ish Halavush Habadim, and Hashem says, and Yechezkel says, I was there, I was listening, and Hashem spoke to the man that was dressed in linen, Asher Keses HaSofer B'Masnav, and who had on his loins this inkwell, on his loins or tablet, and Hashem spoke to this individual within my earshot. But let's see the Mesuda Pasuk Gimel. Uchvoid, and what did Hashem say to him? That's going to be the next pasuk. Hashem is going to tell him to write the letter Tav on all the different people who are going to survive. Let's see Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudo Stav. Uchvoid Akel. Hashchina Nistalka Min HaKiruv. Which Kruv? Again, we're not referring to the Merkava. Shal HaKapires. Upon the Kapires, Ashohoya Olav, upon which it was resting. As it says, Vayerid, where did it go? El Miftan did not go to Shemayim, as Chazal tell us, that the Shechina left the Beis HaMikdash in stages. In exactly 10 stages. And Zeluma Zed, the Sanhedrin, departed from the Beis HaMikdash also in 10 different stages. The Koyach of Torah is Lu'umas, corresponds to the Koyach of the Shechina. And when the Shechina begins to depart, the Koyach of Torah also begins to get weak. So there are 10 Madregos of Torah, 10 Madregos of Shechina, and each one corresponds to the other. So here again, the Mizut over here says, the Shechina began to depart, it went to the threshold, Beis Kodshei HaKodoshim, it's still in Beis HaMikdash, but it's now by the threshold of the Kodshei HaKodoshim, Umisham Kara Elo Ish. Now that moment in time, when the Shvarach Hu called out through the Ish, that's Nevush Badim. Period. So let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Me'al HaKurav, Me'al HaKapores. Shashrina Haisa Shoresham Ad Heina. The Shrina was resting there until this point in time. The Yischilil Histalek, and it's now beginning to depart. V'lotzeis Michluchutz, Ma'at, Ma'at, Eser, Ma'asos, 10 different stages of travels. The Zeh Maseh Harishon, this is the first departure, the first stage of departure. Ayin Msefa Amos, he brings the Holy Wind Medrash, Sarachini, okay, Ramina Kruv, the Miftan, Beis Kodshei HaKadosh, from there went to the Kruv, to the Miftan, to the threshold of the Beis Kodshei HaKadosh. Radak Pasuk Gimel. Radak says, I can't find it, one moment. El Mifan Abayis, Moire Histalek, it's coming to indicate Histalek HaKavar Mibes HaMikdash. It's teaching you that the Shechina is now departing. Uve Amar Mial HaKruv, Veloy Amar HaKruvim. He's asking a very good question. The Shechina is resting upon both Kruvim. There are two Kruvim. One was the image of a Zohar, one was in the Keva. Kishnaim Kum Hayu, Amar was in Zohar Levracha, Kinosa Mikruv Lekruv, Mikruv Lemifan. Enochinami, this already is already the third stage. It went from one kruv to the other kruv. So therefore, we're saying over here is that this already was the next. It wasn't the first stage. It was the second stage because it went mikruv el kruv. It basically means it used to be in both kruvim and only went to one kruv. And then from one kruv, it went to the threshold. That's not what it says over in Rashi. Rashi learns that this was the first stage. He seems to be learning over here. This was already called the second stage. V'yavshar ki amar meyal hakruv hu derech mashul. Maybe what it means kruv, it does not to be precise. Kruv will be just a catch-all term referring to both kruvim. The Yonis interrogate. Yonis learns istalek mikruv dahava shrei alohi beis kodesh kudshaya. It depart from the kruv which it was resting upon in the base, Kodesh Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Amr Bikruva, the Amr Mikruv, Ritzon Eloimar, Ki Im Kruv Nale, Ritzon Eloimar, Mi Shanas Eloi HaKruv Dimyon Hu, Thu HaSorof HaEif Flood Flies, El HaAdam, Ramaz Bistalek HaNavu Mi Yisrael, Veloi Nishare El Chaga Yitzchari Malachi, Shisnabu Bebinyan HaBayi Sheni, Vachem Poska HaNavu. So he seems to be saying an entirely different point, and that means the kruv does not mean the kruv on top of the kapoires, like we translated thus far in the Mitzudos Rashi in the first pshat in the Radak. Rather, the kruv means the koyach of nevuah, and that answers the question why the kruv departed. When the pasuk says nale me'al hakruv, we're going to look at hakruv. We won't talk those words in the Mitzudos. We won't talk words in the Radak. We amar bikruva, we amar bikruv. We're saying the loymar ki im kruv nale. With the kruv, it ascended. What does that mean? Ratz loymar mi shenase loy hakruv dimyon loy. The one that the kruv was similar to. What does that mean? V'hu asorof. This refers to the malach. Malach sorof is a malach. Ha'off. That flies el ha'adam, that flies to a person. So what does that mean? There's a malach that flies to a person that's similar to a kruv. What it means is ramas bistalek hanavua miyisrael. At this moment in time, prophecy is departing from the Jewish people. V'lo nisharu elo, the only three prophets that remained: Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. Shisnabu b'vinyan abayis sheni v'chem pasuk hanavua. With them, the nevua came to the very, very end. Okay, so it means something going to be very deep. I don't know exact translation of what he means over here, say, but the basic gist, the basic pshuto shel mikra is that the Shechina is departing from the kruv of the kapoires. There is a difficulty with that interpretation. Why does it say the kruv and not the kruvim? Rashi seems to ignore the question entirely. The Radak seems to suggest that this was not the first stage. The first stage was when it went from both kruvim to one kruv. And then from one kruv to the second kruv. And then from the second kruv it went to the miftan abayis of the threshold. So maybe there were multiple stages already at this point in time. It's alluding to that idea. Or was saying something much deeper, that nale me'al, it went forth, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu went forth together or went forth from the people. Me'al ha'kruv went forth from the people who resembled a kruv, meaning at this point in time, the Shechina departed from the people. They no longer had the gift of prophecy. Okay, the next words of the Radak. We're just describing who he was. We're referring over here to the man Levush Badim is Gavriel. Okay, now before we conclude, one thing I just left out, another answer to the question in the previous pasuk, why is it called the Mizbech HaNechoshes? Why is in the Mizbech, as I gave you the Drush, but there's a Medrash, or not a Medrash, the Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, that gives an answer. It's surprising that none of the Mefarshim here on the page give us this answer. It refers to the Mizbech of stone is called Nechoshes because the Levim would surround the Mizbech with their musical instruments that were typically made from copper, and would play music, it would play Shira. Mizbech HaNechoshes, Mihava. Omar Loho Amalok Lishbarhu Askilu mi mokam shoimrim shiro lefonai dichlei nechoshes. So the Mizbeach, we're referring to the Mizbeach as the Mokam Nechoshes, to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to reject the Shira. And that is in itself a very interesting idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much wants from Klal Yisrael that there should be song. This past parasha was all about Shira, Az Yashir. Shiras Tevora, Shiras Moshe, and here when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beginning the Churban, he's coming to express, I am rejecting your Shira, and he does so by calling the Mizbech HaNechoshes, the place where the Levim with their copper instruments assemble. Alright, we're going to stop over here with this Pasuk. Pasuk Dalet.